How do you, as a business owner, allow this to leave your shop? Like, I remember we had an E46 that came in the door one time, SMG to manual conversion. This fucking guy drilled a hole through the firewall to run the clutch line.
And the hole's already there.
Yeah. There's a rubber plug that covers it. Yeah. Dude. This motherfucker drilled a hole, re-bent the hole. Like, I'm literally looking at this car. I'm like, dude.
It's you could have literally so
ran the whole the line in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And this probably took you an hour or two to do. Like, I build cars as good as I do because I'm afraid the next guy that touches it. You may not like how I did certain things because, you know, everybody does things differently, but you're not going to find nothing wrong with it.
If you're looking to build a custom car, you got the guy here, Diogo from AMS Auto Works. What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Eat Brace podcast. I'm here with my partner Francis, and we have the world-renowned custom car builder. If you're looking to build a custom car start to finish, from paint, motor, suspension, however you want to set it up, you got the guy here, Diogo from AMS Auto Works. How long have you been in business?
Shit. 24 years now.
And always for yourself?
I've been in the industry since 19. I've been on my own since 2002. So okay. 22 years.
Wow.
Running my own business.
So were you always like, what got you into the cars? Like, was it the, you know, performance side or
my
just
dad,
wanted to look good?
My dad always tinkered with cars. Like, my dad was a construction worker, machine operator. That's, you know, he did that from whatever time in the morning till 3 p.m, 4 p.m, he'd get home. And then he'd come home and just start, like, you know, tinkering with cars. We'd paint them in the backyard, put them for sale in front of the house. Like, it was his pastime. Like, my dad always loved messing with cars.
And what kind of cars were they usually?
Always Euros.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just.
So when was your first car?
My first car was a 85 Audi 4000.
That's nice.
Yeah. That was.
So was your dad, how did you get into Euros? Because was your dad into Euros? Or you,
yeah,
you
my just... dad was always big V-dub head, Mercedes head, you know, Audi head. And I just took off with the Audis. I love the old school Audis. That's like my thing.
So I guess you were already into cars before you started driving.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Did you like plan out that you wanted to get the Audi, or was it like something like, oh, like that's just the one that we could find right now?
Oh, I had my 4000 at 15.
Okay. So you were already working on it.
Oh, for sure. By the time I got my license, it was for back then, like we're talking 99, 2000 when I started driving that car. By the time I had my license, it was already 10 valve turbo swap, you know, big brakes, board bays, Recaros, like a lot of a junkyard build because, you know, there was no money. You'd literally go to the local junkyard, whatever you could
see
pick
what
parts
you could find.
Off. But yeah, like this started a long, long time ago.
So then from then, what made you decide like, hey, like this is like something that I could do for a living?
Well, my high school years, my last year of high school, at least for the most part, I never really went to school. I'd go to school, pick up my friends' cars, go home, do whatever they needed done during the day, suspension, calipers, like shit, like dumb stuff like that. Have it back by 3 o'clock and my date was over.
And you were just working on it at your house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Without my parents even knowing because they were at work. Yeah, so like I'd come into school in the morning, pick up the car, drive it home, modify it, come back at 3 o'clock, give it back to them and go back home at the other day and nobody ever knew nothing.
So like back in the day, we didn't have the internet, but how did you learn how to get basically your skill craft?
Not be afraid. Like, that's honestly what's always worked for me. Nobody ever taught me anything. I just self-taught myself.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Just jumped in and, you know, if you can't do it, you'll figure it out. The next time you will do it. That's usually how it always been.
So it was, what would probably be like the, if you could remember, the first thing where you're like, shit.
Like a job that got you stuck.
Yeah, like, this seems hard, but I'm going to figure it out.
Definitely tranny builds. Those were always a little complicated for the first time you break one apart. Setting timing on certain cars, that was always a little bit of a issue. Not anymore because now everything's online. You can get all this stuff. But
so what were you doing? You were buying a lot of those Chilton manuals?
No, just literally friends and see what they can get you online. Like,
wow.
That's what it was. I was like, yo, get me whatever diagram you can. I'm going to jump into this. Or like mark it before you take it apart and put it back together, hope it worked. You know?
So was there anything that you ever turned down? Like, or you were kind of just like, hey, whatever you guys need, like I'm going to figure it out.
That's my biggest problem. I'm not a no man. I'm starting to be one now just because like I just can't handle it anymore.
But prior to that, it's like...
No, that was always my biggest problem. I always say yes to everyone. I always try to make everybody happy. And it was like, I end up screwing myself in the long run, but I was never a no man.
Yeah, like I think when I started, the first thing I ever worked on was installing a system in someone's car. Like actually one of these, like a whole Civic. Like we bought this, we bought the stereo, we bought all the stuff from the flea market.
Yeah, or Chinatown, remember back in the day?
No, we went to the flea market.
Canal Street? Canal Street, Mott Street.
At the time, they still had the flea market on Route 1.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then when that closed, we used to go to 18. But like those were the spots for sound systems back then. But yeah, I do remember Chinatown too. If you wanted a new head unit, you had to go out there for it.
Pyramid speakers, I remember.
Yeah.
Pile.
Audio was big back in the day. That was like a necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first thing. Modding cars was systems. Like,
were you into audio too, or is it more just like, you know?
I like audio. I've always been an audio guy, but if you see my cars, like my audio is very clean and simple. Like I don't go crazy. Like every single one of my cars has audio in it. It'll either have a sub. They're all like very nice, period correct, like audio.
Just nice. That's
clean,
good.
Clean.
And period correct. Like a lot of the cars now, like.
I see that. They have like those retro radios that kind of like.
Yep.
Still look like the old ones, but they're new. They got Bluetooth and all that.
Yeah, like my Rabbit, we just did a Soundstream amp, which took me forever to fucking find it on eBay. An old Soundstream amp with a solar barrack in it.
Okay.
My RS2, we did JLs, two old school JLs with, I don't know if you remember the Auto Art PPI amps.
No.
That wasn't a big.
Oh, Rockford Fosgate.
Auto Art used to make these amps. They were white, and they were literally drawn on by hand.
Yeah, I seen those. I remember those.
Was it pink?
Painted, yeah.
I remember those. I couldn't afford that, so that's probably why.
Neither could I back in the day. That's why I have them now. But I ended up doing those amps in the RS2 with two JLs. Like, again, very, like, my period correct for my time frame. Maybe not for the car, because the car's a 95, but, like, when I was growing up, that's what I wanted, and couldn't afford it, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's a hunt.
So moving from then to now to where your business is now, you know, obviously you have a lot of notable builds. Like what was one of, but before we even talk into that, what is your shop's specialty in?
I guess building Euros for the most part. You know, I mean, we could tackle pretty much anything Euro build, but specialty like that we're like renowned for, like, is building E30s. Like, we have so many of them there, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And it just keeps getting worse. Like, no, it's bad, dude. It's, like, really bad.
So E30 full restoration style builds?
Everything, dude.
Everything.
Yeah. And that's honestly what's, like, really starting to kill me lately. Because, like, these people just want to get the car in the door. Like, I had a guy on Saturday showed up with his friend. His friend was picking up his E30, and he decided to bring his E30. Like,
maybe I could drop it off.
Exactly. And the man had the audacity to pull out a stack. And I'm like, dude, I don't give a fuck if it's 100 grand. Like, you're not going to drop off this car today because I got 7 or 8 of them in the back that need to be finished before yours. Like, it doesn't work that way. Like, all those guys got just as much money of you, if not more. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't make a difference to me. And he was like, please, man. I'm like, I can't. Like, call me like 2-3 months. If I could take it in, I'll take it in. Because if not, it's going to go into the backyard. I'm not going to look at it for a couple months. Like,
it's just going to sit there.
But yeah, the E30s, it's insane right now.
So like, what is majority of the bill? You said everything.
Everything.
But...
like, these cars are coming in for everything.
Really? Swaps? Yeah.
Swaps, full suspension overhaul, subframe, like everything, like literally everything. Brakes, coilovers, like everything.
Why such a big uptick on E30s recently?
Out of control. Like, I've always done E30s. Like, I inherited the E30 market. That was never even my thing. That was my old partner's thing. And then when we broke up that partnership, you know, the people that weren't happy with him, they're like, dude, you know, you got to be able to do these. You know, you worked with him all these years. You got to know these cars. I'm like, I do. I don't really care for them. I'm like, I'm an Audi guy, Volkswagen guy, but and whatever. I was like, yeah, sure, bring it. I started doing them, and fuck, it just blew up. Like, it's bad.
Well, you mentioned a lot of Euros, but you also do other types of builds. Like,
no, we do. But like
the GTR. I saw a GTR build.
We did a few GTRs already. We have actually 3 GTRs in the shop right now. That's probably, like, the GTRs and Subarus are probably the only, like, Japanese cars I really fuck with. Like, I know them pretty good, so, like, I don't mind, like, messing with them.
But... And when you're saying builds, too, just for people that don't know, you're doing, like, obviously on some of the GTRs that you're working on, you're doing, like, full kits, like,
everything.
Crazy-looking
like,
body kits.
We just did an R33 that we did full engine build on it, full updated the stand logs that had some old HKS in it. We put the whole thing up to Haltech. Redo the suspension on that car, like all custom piping for the intercooler, for exhaust, like stuff like that. Full interior in that car, put a roll bar in it. Did audio in that car too, because we work with Audio Clinic. Did a full audio in that car. Like, that was kind of like a full build besides paint. That car came with really good paint. It was an RMC car. the body in that car was mint, but everything else, we touched the whole car front to back.
And like on a project like that, what's like the time frame for it? Like when if like me as a customer, if I came into you like with an E30 and I say, hey, I want this to look mint, what would you say? Like, and I ask you, like, how long do you think it's gonna take? Like, what's the time frame you give these guys?
It honestly all depends. Like, I'm literally working my way now to a point where these things can come in like and get done like quick. You know what I mean? Because like, right now I got like 7 or 8 open E30 projects. Like, swaps are almost done. I gotta wire this one. I gotta like, and that's the problem. Like, even my guys, they'll help me. They'll, you know, I'll do this, then they'll put the motor in the car and then hook up this. Then I gotta jump in and finish this part, and then they could take on a little bit more. But like the wiring, I wire up every single car. I plumb every single car. I build the exhaust on every single car. So like, that's what I meant before. Like a lot of the stuff has to still go through me no matter what.
Yeah, you know? So it's not like one person can work on it, stay on it and work on it.
And that's the part that sucks. Like they'll get it to a certain point and then it's like, all right, but it's aside now because now it's your turn. You got to work on it. I'm like, yeah. I'm doing this. Put it over there. And they're like, and that's what I've been like really fighting hard for lately is to get to that point where I could have like 3 or 4 cars in motion and they're just like, keep it moving, like, keep it going.
Yeah, almost like a factory line kind of.
I try that. Like when we did that LTO car, I don't know if you guys follow that, E36, mm-hmm. when I was a SEMA, we built that car in 3 months, start to finish. And I'm talking about fucking gutted shell, nothing on the car, full, you know, underneath rotisserie, everything underneath, full suspension, subframes, like everything on that car, built motor, turbo kit, put AC in that fucking thing. We had to make custom AC for that car, custom interior, did the wide body, the air, like everything, big brakes, like you name it. We did that car in 3 months.
But was that like 3 months because you knew it had to get done? Or is that something where, it's, you know, honestly, where you're trying to get into that routine?
That was my thing. It was a test. Like granted, like he came to my, it's a good friend of mine. He's like, dude, it'd be cool if we go to SEMA. I'm like, bro, it's August. He's like, we could do it. I'm like, it's fucking August. Like,
we need to start yesterday.
You know, I'm like, you serious? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you ready for this shit? He's like, yeah, no problem. I'm like, all right, fuck it. If you're ready for it, you know, it's going to be a bunch of us on it. It's going to be crazy money, but we'll get it done. He didn't care. He footed the bill. And dude, we got it done. Like, we literally and have the
outcome
car.
Outcome was awesome.
Yeah. We literally finished the car Saturday night. And then Daryl fucking hotshotted it to Vegas in 2 nights and got it there Monday.
Yeah.
Which was nuts. Like, the kid's crazy. It worked and we got it done. Like, you know, between everybody at the shop, like, again, like, it was a lot of guys involved, but we built that car start to finish in literally 3 months.
And if you could replicate that, that's kind of cool because it's like, oh, like one car of this caliber can be put out in this time period, which is a really good
as
time.
As long as you're getting paid for it.
Yeah.
Like, that car was one of those. It was literally everybody's hours were accounted for.
Yeah.
And he paid it. Like, he didn't care. Like, he was happier than a pig and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. Like, that setup worked because, like, you know, I had my time into it. The body guys, all, like everybody's time was accounted for and paid for. So like a project like that made sense to do.
Right.
So like, and that's what I've been trying to get into all the 30s now. Like everything's written down. Everybody, you know, everybody's got a logbook. Everybody writes exactly how much time spent on everything. And that's it. And nobody has a problem paying their bills. Like literally nobody. Like you give a person a bill. Okay, cool. Wires are tomorrow.
So that's a good thing. Cause we hear horror stories from other shop owners of, you know, they had to chase the money down, this, that, and the other, which also puts a big stress on the shop owners, you know what I mean?
I've dealt with that too, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But like, these old 30 guys are all older gentlemen, like they're not kids, you know what I mean? They know what they want. You know, for the most part, they know they're gonna blow $100,000 building the car.
Yeah.
So they don't care.
Like, your clientele is also different now at this level.
They're like, just get it done.
Yeah.
And the worst part is with these guys, not the worst part, because it's great, but like, these guys will pick up one car and drop off another. Literally. Like the majority of my customers now literally pick up one car.
They'll repeat.
It'll be like the flatbed will be dropping one off to pick up this one. And like this one's for the same exact thing. Redo the whole car. This paint. Wow. Like it's wild, man.
So that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
It is. But we run into the issue there. There's way too many of them compared to like how many of us exist at this point. And that's where like the issue is starting to become like a problem.
The volume.
Because, like, there's too many of these guys with money that know what they want. And they don't care about paying to get it done. But there's only so much that we can do in, you know, a day. Like, I work 16-hour days for the fucking last 20 years. Like, no bullshit. Like,
yeah.
Anybody that follows me knows I'm in at work at 8 o'clock. I never leave before 10 o'clock.
And do you find that, especially in, like, this day and age, it's finding good help?
It's impossible. I know guys like, oh, pay... You could pay them all you want. It's just nobody wants to do this shit no more.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it sucks. Like, I don't know. I don't know where this is going to be in another 10 years. That's what I keep saying to, like, all the guys. I'm like, dude, what's going to happen in 10 years from now?
Yeah, because, I mean, even nowadays, just on a regular, like, car dealership level, you know, just a general technician, the younger generation, it's like, it's not there. They can't diagnose really well. It's more like parts. They rely so much on the scanners and stuff, where they're still, like, just the basics. They don't even know the basics, you know what I mean?
Common sense is probably the biggest thing that is non-existent. And, like, literally, common sense is, like, such an easy thing, and it's, like, it just fucking lacked.
Well, you know, another thing, too, and you said you didn't go to school, but back in the day, tradesman's work was, there was wood shop in school. There Correct, was all this other stuff to kind of help you be a tradesman, to get into this type of work. I notice now that that's lacking, and so, like, you know, that's another thing, too. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to be an IT guy. I'm going to get into computers and shit, like...
Well, don't forget, we went through that, like, 20-year period where, like, being a plumber was embarrassing. Being an electrician was, like...
Right.
Like, all those
all
jobs...
All the blue-collar stuff
...were,
was...
like, corny. Like, oh, no, you're a mechanic? Ew.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's like, dude, I got friends. Plumbers, electricians, roofers, fucking McLaren.
They got the most
SVJs.
Money.
SVJs. Yo, they're fucking killing it. Because they're doing the jobs that, for the last 20 years, none of these kids wanted to do. And now they jumped into it. They opened up companies, and they're killing it, dude. Like, legit... killing it.
Yeah.
And that's like, again, we're back to the whole full circle thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody wanted to be like, you know, nice executive jobs. That, dude, there's a lot of money to be made in, like, you know, hands-on stuff.
Oh, of course.
Like, interior guys. Find a good interior guy.
There's none. Yeah.
Fucking non-existent, dude.
Yeah.
Like, my guy retired and we literally fought him to come back to work. Swear to God. I mean, he retired last year. And between, like, five of us, like, that used him heavy, we're like, listen, dude, like, you can't leave us yet.
You got to train
sold
somebody.
His business, sold. He ended up renting a shop now that he's working out of just to, like, keep working for us.
Yeah.
Because we were like, dude, you can't retire yet. Like, your wife's younger than you. She's the one, the nastiest one doing this interior stuff. She wants to keep working. I'm like, you're going to stay on for a little longer,
yeah,
dude.
I don't even think if you ask someone how to use a sewing machine, they wouldn't even know how to
Again,
start the thread.
Just 10 years ago, look how many interior guys existed.
Yeah.
A lot of them. Now, yeah. Non-existent, dude. You got Everlast, that's literally, they're not going to be around much longer because the son's old as hell too now.
Yep.
You know, Charlie left and then he came back, thankfully. Like,
you know, one thing that we've heard from other shops, and, you know, they're probably not doing the same thing that you're doing. Like, they're more like performance shops and, you know, or you know, general work. The biggest thing that we've heard is cash flow problems. Because, so they'll take in a, you know, let's talk about a race shop, right? They'll take in a car and it'll take them 3 months to build, and they don't see that money for 3 months. Are you in that? Do you have cash flow? Like, is that something to worry about?
I've been fixing that problem. So, yes, I actually just had an argument with somebody about that this week. Because, again, he called me up. He's like, dude, what the fuck's going on? What did I do to you? I'm like, my man, I'm like, you did nothing to me. Like, I don't mind working on your shit. But I'm like, you're not the only guy I work on, dude. I got 40, 50, 60 cars in the shop. Imagine I float 10 grand on each of them.
Right.
I'm like, think about that. Oh, yeah, I guess. I'm like, it's not I guess. Imagine I float. I'm like, yeah, 10 grand is not crazy money, but you're not the only
at
one here.
At 50 cars, 20 cars, even at 20 cars is a lot.
I'm like,
of
imagine
money.
That. I float 10 grand on 10, 15 cars.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't swing that. I'm not rich, dude. Like, I work my ass off to pay my bills and, like, keep the shop going.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come by. I'm like, no shit. So that's what I try to do now. Like, so whatever, any car that gets dropped off, I already know, like, these E30s are coming for suspension, this and that. I'm like, listen, bring me 15 grand. We'll work that off. And then what I'll try to do is, like, if depending on how much labor gets worked on it, like, I'll come up to, like, 80 hours. And I'm like, listen, deposit, you know, bring it back up today. Because, you know,
you need it.
Again, everybody makes good money.
Yeah.
You know, payroll's high. Fucking expenses are high. Rent's high. Like, you can't keep floating all
parts
these crazy. Yeah. You can't keep floating all these. That's exactly parts are high. Like, that was his thing. He's like, oh, you just got to order stuff. I'm like, correct. I'm like, you want coilovers, you want brakes, you want all the bushings. I'm like, that's 10, 15 grand on E30 M3, dude. Like, bring me a deposit. I'll order all this shit up, and then I'll start working on the car. And, like, some people, for the most part, it's not an issue anymore. Because, again, these are all older people now. Like, they know, they understand money, so, like, they're not. But some people still get offended when you ask them for money. It's like, I know you got it, dude. Like,
yeah.
And that's the worst part. Oh, you know I got it. You're right.
And you I need it too, man.
Like, you know, I know you have it, dude. That's not the issue. I know you're going to pay me when it's done, but that'll be 2-3 weeks from now, a month from now. Like, I got to float all this shit, float, you know, 80 hours a day. It's impossible. It's just, you put yourself in such a hole that it just, you can't climb out of.
Yeah. So I know, like, especially for you, because most of your jobs aren't like in and out jobs, you know what I mean? Do you still even try to make time for the in and out? Because I know in a shop, sometimes those in and out jobs are, it's good money.
The balance part of that is what sucks.
Yeah, because in an in and out job, you're pulling a guy off, right?
That's the biggest problem. So, like, I'll try to do in and out work for, like, a very select few. As fucked up as that sounds, but, like, it just is what it is. So, like, I do a lot of work for Brooklyn. Like, love Adam to death.
Yeah,
anything he needs, I'll never say no to.
Shout out to Adam.
Yeah, Adam's awesome. And, like, I'll never say no to him. There's another deal. Like, I literally work for two dealers, to Adam and Status in Staten Island, another good friend of mine, Ali. So, like, anytime they need something, yeah, I'll make room for them. And then, of course, my good customers, if they need something done on their, like, you know, daily drivers or, like, the cars that aren't being full builds, of course, I always say yes to also.
Yeah.
But for the most part, no, I don't.
I don't have time for it.
I just can't anymore because you literally can't. If you had more manpower, yeah. If you had one guy just dealing with the day-to-day shit, awesome. You know what I mean? But just right now, it's not feasible.
It's definitely a thing that I hear from, like, a lot of shop owners. Just even, you know, not even a mechanic or a tech or body guy, just even to get, like, a guy to pick up the phone, you know, is tough.
I have no phone line. I shut that shit down. Bro, you know why? Because
your phone rings. Yeah, of course.
People would call. Everybody wants me on the phone. Everybody. Like, you could literally have the nicest person answer the phone. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He can't. Oh, can I speak to him? No. What the hell? No, he's in the back working. Like, the guy doesn't run the, you know, run the shop up front. He actually works in the back. And everybody would always talk shit. I was like, you know what? Click, no more phone line, email.
So you don't have a phone number?
At all.
It's funny. I was leading up to my next question is, like, do you give your personal number or is there a shop number? Like what's the balance? Because I know that's, like, so big, like, a subject. You know what I mean?
If you're a good customer of mine, you got my number.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and if you're a good customer of mine, you know not to bother me until the nighttime. Like,
right.
My guys know, like, message me after 10 o'clock, you're going to get an answer from me.
Yep.
Throughout the day, you're probably not because I'm like, here. Like, I'll see that you message me, but I'm not responding.
You ain't got time for
that. Yeah, nighttime, that's what I always do. I'll respond to emails, texts, whatever the case is. So, like, anybody that's, like, again, a good customer of mine, they all have my cell phone, and they're all respectful of it. Like, they won't bomb my phone. They won't do none of that stuff. Everybody else, dude, email. Like, I respond, you know what I mean? I don't leave you on read. I'll get to it, but I can't be on the phone all day because, bro, before you know it, it's 3, 4 o'clock, and you haven't done shit. You know what I mean? Now you're making
that's
up
how
for
you
that
make
night.
Money. Like, and that's how you make money, right?
It sucks, dude. I can't do that.
So you do, once again, you do everything from body work, engine work, suspension work. You do it all. What is your favorite part of a build that you want, that you would love doing?
I love swaps. Like, that's my thing. I like creating shit. Like, I don't like the boring stuff. Like, I like to take on projects that are, like, you know, like, they challenge me. And, like, even though we do a lot of E30s, no car is ever the same. Every fucking car is different. Like, I always try to do something different. Like, even though it can be something stupid, but, like, something's always different. None of this, you can never open the hood and both cars look the same. Like, I always change things up on them.
So with that being said, and, you know, with technology and the ease of, like, 3D printing and stuff like that now, do you incorporate any of that kind of stuff into your builds? Like, are you into that stuff?
A little bit of it. I'd love to get more into it. But again, try to hire somebody to do it. It sucks.
But do you find that you know, certain parts, especially, I think, like, especially, like, interior pieces and stuff like that, that, you know, you're really not going to find no more.
A lot of stuff's reprinted now, dude.
Yeah. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because now you can actually get it for a lot less than, you know, someone literally sitting there trying to mold it and make it.
It's impossible. That's getting to a point where it's impossible. Like, we just finished an E30 with an M-Tech kit on it. The guy managed to get the kit brand new. I don't know how the hell he fucking did that, but he got a brand new M-Tech 2 kit, no hardware. I'm like, dude, like, what do you want me to do with this? He's like, oh, I didn't come with it. I'm like, all right. So I'll scrounging eBay, scrounging this. Bro, 3D printed door panel clips. They literally had everything 3D printed for it.
Yeah.
Like, I found some of the stuff at the dealer store, like, some of the clips that were still available, but, like, the major ones for, like, the big door pods and stuff, all 3D printed.
That's crazy. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, I'm starting to see a lot of that. And, you know, it's not hard either. Like, a lot of those files are shared, but it's like, because, you know, it's like a community where, hey, you just created this thing and you know, someone with an old Volkswagen or an E30 or whoever is going to use it. Like, it's like a shared file. And then, hey, if you have a printer, you can print it. But it definitely takes time, and you have to have a little bit of skills to do it, too.
But you make money, dude. I know I bought the clips from the deal. They were like $2-3. I was paying like $10-12 a clip.
Yeah.
But guess what? Like, you need them. It was like $400-something worth of clips to put that kit on. Oh. It is what it is, dude. Like,
yeah.
And again, nobody complains.
Yep. Because that's like that's the closest you're going to get to the original stuff. And even sometimes, too, even if you find the original, it's been sitting around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
They're like brittle.
Dude, the old Euro market right now is disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, the parts market is insane.
It, you know, I think, what was that? What was that? It was a company's, I think, like LMC Truck is one of them. And then they have the other ones for, like, the automobiles where, you know, they remake, you know, sheet metal parts for, like, Chevelles and stuff like that. Like, they don't, is there something like that for the Euro market?
No, there's one guy, E30 Norway. He does, like, E30 M3 replica quarters and stuff like that. Expensive as shit, and the quality is trash.
Yeah. No, it's not the same.
Like, dude, example, I had a customer of mine, E30 M3, both quarters, like, somebody had widened them, fucked the car all up. So I told him, like, listen, do we need two quarters? I had a quarter, luckily, from like, I used to buy stock every time they'd come up. I had one quarter. I was like, listen, I'll hook you up with the one quarter that I have. I was like, we need a driver's side quarter. Bro, nobody, nothing under the sun. Whoever had him here wanted $70,000 for a quarter. Bro. My man hopped on a plane, flew to France. Though, no bullshit, true story. This was like 2-3 months ago. Flew to France, bought a quarter out there because BMW Germany released them.
Oh, wow.
Not BMW USA. So, like, we couldn't even bring him in.
Yeah.
BMW Germany released them. He bought one over there for 2,700 euros. Yeah. Flew out there, put it on the plane, and came back.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was still cheaper than trying to find anything local.
Yeah.
Because he used his miles, flew for free, paid the extra baggage charge to bring it in, done.
Wow.
That's
wow.
Crazy. Yeah, because I think, like, BMW has, like, that classic line.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you said, not a lot of those parts are here. Same thing with, like, Porsches and VWs. Yeah. They all have, like, those restos.
Porsche's nice because Porsche's catalog is nuts.
Yeah.
Like, nuts. Like, we restored a 71 911T not too long ago. Bro, I was able to get a brand new dash.
From the dealer?
From the dealer.
That's crazy.
Cheap, too. It was like $500 or $600. Brand new dash.
Wow.
Like, I was like, when the customer's like, oh, yeah, we got to change the dash. I'm like, dude, it's going to be a bitch. He's like, no, the dealer has it. I'm like, no, he don't. He's like, call it up. Call the dealer. He's like, yeah, we got one. I'm like, are you serious, dude? I'm like, all right, cool story, dude.
That's wild.
So Porsche. You mentioned the E30. You're doing a lot of E30s, and you mentioned Porsche. What other, is there any other popular platform?
Mercedes are getting real big now, too.
Okay.
And that's another disgusting market when it comes to parts.
Like the 90s?
Yeah. All the 90s Benzes, like the AMGs, pre-merger, insane.
The drug dealer.
Yep.
Yeah.
The triad.
No, I'm Benzes. Like, yeah. I'm talking about like stupid money for parts.
Wow.
Like an AMG, like put it this way, like a 126 AMG kit, if you can get your hands on it. Or like a 124 AMG kit, $5,000-$7,000. Like, put it this way, the fog lights. I have two sets that I just got in. The fog lights for the AMG bumpers for a 124, they're about $3,000 right now, if you find them.
Damn.
Just for fog lights. Used, too. Not even brand new. A used set of fog lights, the ZKWs.
That's wild.
Those AMG arrow wheels, if you got a set of 18s, because you got to custom make them, they don't make 18-inch arrows. A set of 18-inch arrows right now, $7,000-$8,000.
Wow.
People used to throw those out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scrap them.
Yep. $7,000-$8,000 for a set of three-piece fucking, a stepped-up three-piece set of arrows.
So speaking about wheels, you know, I know you probably see a lot of reps. How you feel about that?
I can't stand that shit. Don't even start with that. Like, I'm that hater that always talks shit about those BVS boys because I can't stand that. I'm like, listen, nothing against any of them, because what pisses me off about all those dudes, they all could fucking afford real wheels.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. We all know what type of businesses they're all into.
But they, what's wild is, where are they getting these wheels? Like, who's making these wheels?
They're all coming from China.
Oh, those are terrible, man.
Bro, it's sad. Like, it's sad to see these nice cars with fake wheels.
Like, I hate that, too. Because, like you said, it's not... And you know what? Part of it, I think, also, is just the knowledge of it. Like, they're not really thinking about that. You know what I mean? Like, when I think of those, you know, obviously, paid in full, you know, everyone's looking at...
Yeah.
But it's like, those cars had real wheels
real
on
wheel.
It.
Thank you.
So it's like, me as a car enthusiast and just a, you know... big into automobiles, I want, like, if I wanted that car, like the people with the Eleanors and that, like, you know what you have to get. So why do you get those? And it's wild, because then, you know, sometimes I read the comments, it's like, you call them out and then, you know, everyone's talking shit. It's like, but whoever said that they're fake, they're not lying. Those are fake.
They get upset, though.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's for the culture.
It's not
for
the culture.
If it was for the culture, they would be real.
Real. That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that shit annoys me, dude, so bad. Like that 190 that they did for NOS, you saw that disgusting thing?
Yeah.
Bro, that shit had $600 Alzor wheels on it, dude.
Terrible.
Like, are you serious?
They could have. There were so many wheel options they could have.
The reflex kit on it. I'm just like, oh my god, we could still get AMG bumpers. They're available.
Yeah,
you gotta pay up, but they're there. You know, like
especially like, yeah, I don't know who they commissioned to do that build, but they play themselves.
I heard it was like $80,000 to build that car, and that thing was straight trash.
Yeah, you could have did a lot better. Yeah.
Somebody made $65,000 that car.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we want it to look like this. Oh, it'll look like that.
Nuts, dude.
But you know, quality of parts is not there.
And that's what pisses me off, because like I legit have customers from New York. I have one customer from New York. This man's collection is fucking retarded. Like, I've probably built him like 20 cars by now, maybe more. And dude, he's got everything you could want, 90s Euro. That's like period correct. Mm-hmm. He's got them all. S classes, E classes, E36s, M5s, like everything. Like treasure trunks. Ever seen the treasure trunk? Remember those things?
Mm-hmm.
I did a treasure trunk on his M5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the white one with the eccentric wheels. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Nah.
Sick car. And dude, regular dude, you know what I mean? And all his cars are fucking period correct builds.
Yeah.
All authentic parts. Like, nothing is knockoff. And then you got guys that actually, like, are known in the hood with money. Like, you know, these rappers, they all got, like, replicas and junk. Like,
cause I feel like they just don't go to the right places. You know what I mean? They always go to, like,
somewhere like a friend of some told him, hey, you go here, yeah, and they'll be like, yeah, guys. I'll get it for you, and they end up just getting bullshit.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I can't mess with that. It's just, it annoys me. I just everybody's like, you're a hater. I'm like, how am I a hater, dude? Like,
no, that's not a hater. It's a different thing.
Like, that was my upbringing, dude. Like, that's what I grew up on.
Yeah.
Like, for me to see like all this fake shit, it's annoying. It's like,
yeah, what makes it worse to me is that even though like some of the wheels that they're putting on, they're not expensive. You probably paid more for your reps than you could have got a real set for that just had to get refinished. So that's what that irks me too.
Dude, guess what? You can't afford, like, these guys can. So, like, let's not use the affording part. But, like, even people that, like, can't afford wheels, like, oh, you know, they can't afford and let them get the reps. Bro, get some dope stocks. Like, get some dope stocks from a different year that's, you know, affordable. They'll look better than putting fucking reps on the car.
Yeah, because the people that know are going to talk shit like, oh, man, the car is nice, but you got some bootleg
wheels. Yeah, exactly. Like, people can't look past that. It's like, just buy like a nice OEM wheel that looks good on that model until you can afford like the real deal stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get into Euros, and the one thing that I noticed with wheels, so BBS, why like the E88s is like so hard to get. Do you know why? Like,
I wish I could tell you. But it doesn't make any sense.
Right? Like, all these other wheel companies are you know, like Volks. You can get TEs any day. But
BBS, literally, I don't know what their deal is. Like, I'm good with the guys at BBS. But, like, even I have a set of E88s on my M2. I forgot I ordered them, dude. That's how long it took. Because I ordered them. He's like, oh, it's going to be, like, you know, 12th of this month. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Fuck it. Put the order in. It was, like, 16 months later. He calls me up. He's like, oh, your wheels are in. I'm like, my wheels are in. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, your wheels. I'm like, Zach, what are you talking about? What wheels, dude? He's like, oh, the ones you ordered for your M2. I'm like, holy shit,
dude.
I'm like, that was like 2020, bro. Like, what the hell? He's like, yeah, they just came in. Do you want them? I'm like, I guess. Like, but that's 18 months right now.
It's like, well, that's
crazy.
It's like trying to get it. Like, you know, they make them. But I feel like, too, like maybe with BBS, because they're such a huge company, like the aftermarket wheel side, maybe.
They don't care about the aftermarket wheel
side. It's not their main business. Yeah, because they're making so many OE stuff. But it's like a chunk of it.
The thing is, the E88s are the motorsport side of it. So, like, you would expect the motorsport side. Like, I get, like, their other BBS is fine. But the motorsport side, you would expect to get pretty quickly.
I don't know. I feel like, you know, I worked for BMW for almost 20 years. And some stuff that the Germans do just don't make sense.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's just one of those things where it's like, why does it work this way? It's just what it is, you know? And there's no rhyme or reason. It's just... That's just their logic, you know what I mean? And you can't, doesn't matter. And that, you know, that's one of the companies where it's not like, oh, I'm going to place an order for, you know, 20 sets of wheels. Okay.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
Don't care.
See you in 2 years.
Yeah. 16 to 18 months. I literally called them like a week ago. I'm like, what's the ETA? He's like, 16 to 18 months. I'm like, yo, my man's not going to have the car in 16 to 18 months. Like, how am I supposed to order these today, dude?
It's insane. No, it is a wild thing with the BBS thing.
Yeah,
so.
That's something.
And I'm like, and how do you have the audacity to even say that on the phone?
They don't care.
What I mean? Like, yeah, well, 16 to 18 months. Like,
it's what it is.
Like, are you nuts, dude?
Yeah. like, I don't know.
I'm just going to tell the customer I can't get them because, like, I'm not even going to repeat those words. That's insane, dude.
Nah. So being that you've been, you know, obviously in this business for so long, you probably accumulated a lot of parts and, you know, little things. Are you one of those guys? Because I was like that too. Like every time I worked on something or like I'm stripping down a motor, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to keep this nut. I'm going to keep this because I know I'm going to need it, but I might not need it till like 10 years from now or 5 years from now. However, do you find yourself in that situation?
Dude, I got so much shit. It's ridiculous. Like I have parts to build cars, to build the next 20 cars I don't even have yet.
Because I remember in your old shop,
yeah,
like you were running out of space. You're like, dude, I got so many parts here. I don't know what to do with them. I'm like,
there's a lot more now.
I don't know. I know, because now you got more space. So more space equals more parts.
Yep.
But like, do you keep a catalog of it? Like how do you even remember what you got?
Not to brag, I'm really good with like remembering shit. Like I swear to God, all my guys go crazy. I'm like, how did you remember this from 3 years ago? I'm like, I know, it's right there. I put it there 3 years ago. And they'll be like, what? I'm like, go check. And they'll be like, damn, man, how did you remember that? I'm like, I know my shit. When it comes to like stuff, like I don't lose things. Like it's always like a joke at the shop. I was like, oh, you lost it. I'm like, dude, I don't lose shit. Like you can ask me where this is. If I'm the one that put it away, I'll know exactly where it is. Like no matter what, like when it comes to things, like I'm very good, like with remembering where everything got put. But parts wise, dude, like I said, I have so much stuff.
So that's a plus too on your side of the business, because you know, especially for restoration stuff, you know, you can probably, like you said, find the parts that you need in your shop.
Oh, yeah. I said, and then, and like, for example, like when BMW re-releases parts for like the E30s, I bought 15 carpets one shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they re-released the front bumpers for the E30 and threes. I bought 9 of them, you know, like.
You're going to use them.
Correct. And I literally both of them like that.
Yeah.
But like anything that's like, anytime that they're going to re-release stuff, that's like stuff that like you can move, I'll buy the whole lot if they have it.
Yeah. Do you ever get blocked from that?
No. My parts guy's nasty.
No, that's good. That's a good thing.
They don't care. They just want to sell.
Yeah.
I would, your stories sometimes, I haven't seen anything recently, but I you know, something that just like whenever you do stories of customer cars that come in with prior shops trying to do something and it's all fucked up and you're going, are you still, I haven't seen you post any stories recently. So are you taking in customer cars that have been fucked up?
Yeah, I've had a lot going on personally too. And like, there's been a lot of shit going on. So now I'm like going back into my old ways again. I'm like back being level headed. But yeah, dude, there's certain fucking things that come through the door. You're just like, yo, how? Like, how did this leave? Like, how do you as a business owner allow this to leave your shop?
I think the most common thing is, and you'll probably laugh too, but you could probably start like a drywall business with the amount of drywall screws you probably pull out of the cars.
Right. Nuts.
And nuts. I find that too. I always work on cars. It's weird. Like, cause me as a, you know, I used to be a tech. I've never had screws like that.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do you find these screws? At least use a sheet metal screw.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what toolbox are you digging these screws out of?
So are these car customers coming in because they're like, I'm done with that. Like, you know, why would they come to you?
Like, I literally just had that. Actually, you mentioned that, but I did post that E30 that I just did, that black one with the white engine bay. That thing was an abomination, dude. Like, that thing went to two or three other shops in the city. And it's like, you're literally looking at this thing. You're like, yo, you went out of your way to fuck this up. Like, you could have done this right with half the effort.
Yeah.
Like, you literally went out of your way to literally fuck this up, which makes no sense sometimes. Like I remember we had an E46 that came in the door one time, SMG to manual conversion. This fucking guy drilled a hole through the firewall to run the clutch line.
And the hole's already there.
Yeah. There's a rubber plug that covers it.
Yeah.
Dude. This motherfucker drilled a hole, re-bent the hole. Like, I'm literally looking at this car. I'm like, dude,
that's you could have literally so
ran the line in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And this probably took you an hour or two to do. Like,
yeah, like you said,
how does this happen?
They just don't know.
It's wild.
So what is the most, is that the most wildest thing that you've seen?
No, I've seen.
What's the most wildest thing you've seen?
Dude, there has been some crazy shit. Like, oh man, let me think right now. There's been a lot. Like, I'd have to go through my phone to like, really like, there's just so much. Dude. Like, dude, I had a car in there not too long ago. I don't want to tell the kind of car it was. This guy had seats, right? It had Lambo seats inside a BMW. And they were literally sitting on blocks of wood just in the car. They didn't say shit to me. So, like, this car was a mess to begin with. So I fixed a whole bunch of shit wrong with it. I go to drive this car. Fucking come out of my driveway. I crack the throttle. I'm just like, whoop. I'm like, what
the hell? Almost fell over.
You fell over.
No, literally fell over. The seat was just in there. It was like,
oh, it wasn't even bolted.
Bro, they literally screwed the seats into 2 4x4s, wrapped the 4x4s in black felt.
Wow.
And the seat was just chilling there.
Damn, that's effort.
How did, what kind of screws did they use?
I was like, dude. He's like, well, yeah, I never got time to finish it. I'm like, finish it.
You gotta tell me that, man.
From underneath, like,
yeah.
Oh man, that's pretty bad.
I dumped the clutch. I went flying, bro. Like,
that's. I mean, I'm surprised the seat didn't move. Like when you just get in the car.
I didn't even pay attention, bro. Like, I literally just pulled out of the driver and I dumped the clutch when I was leaving. And I was like, ended up on the fucking back seat almost.
So back to Fran saying like about your rants, right? So every once in a while, like, you know, I used to watch your rants. Is there like a breaking point for you before you go? Because then sometimes you'll go on your rants for like, you know, a couple stories. So I have to like click through them all, yeah, like, yeah, make sure. So like, I know that's, to me, like, that's like, it was like built up. Like something led to that. You know what I mean?
Because it's aggravating, bro. Like for you to see a shop put something like that out the door and be okay with it, that shit annoys me.
Yeah.
Like, you have no freaking respect for what you do at that.
You have no business just working on cars. Nah, yeah.
You're just taking some people's money and that's it. But for you to let that shit leave like that is like wrong, bro.
Yeah.
Like I always tell people, like, I build cars as good as I do because I'm afraid the next guy that touches it. That's always my law. It's like, build it just in case somebody else touches it, because that's what you want to worry about. You want to worry about the next guy that, if it doesn't come back to you, it goes to another shop. Then they start nitpicking that shit. Like, oh, look at what they did. Look at, you can fucking,
you don't want
to
be that shop.
My car. Front to back, bro. Knock yourself out. You, yeah, may not like how I did certain things because, you know, everybody does things differently, but you're not going to find nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
You just may not like how I made this bracket or how I did this, but like overall product, you're not going to find shit wrong with what I put together because I literally go above and beyond to make sure that nobody's got a shit talking point.
Mm-hmm. Now, moving, like, I know we talked about like the E30 market being really hot, right? I know one market that you were always into prior to all the hype was the Porsches.
Yeah, still am.
Yeah.
Still am.
I mean, like I said, like, you were doing Porsches way back, yeah, before, like, everyone's jumping in on it. So, like, out of the Porsches and then, you know, your personal cars, what's your favorite one?
I love my 993. Like, I love that car. It's a special car.
And, like, when you were buying these cars, obviously, it wasn't before, this was before the boom.
Yeah.
So, all your cars, obviously, you know, went up in value and stuff. Would you ever sell them?
What I have now, I've sold cars that I've bought back. You know what I mean? Like, I bought a car that I raffled and I ended up buying it back. Like, so, like, I'm done getting rid of what I have. Like, yeah, the cars that I physically own right now, none of them are leaving.
That's good.
You know what I mean? Because, like I said, I made that mistake. I raffled the 90. I fucking regretted it the day it happened. Luckily, the guy 2 years later, when he was moving to Florida, he was like, listen, you want it? Because if I take this to Florida, it's going to sit there because nobody could work on it.
Right.
I got that back. And then I had sold my white Audi to the owner of Rotiform. And then I bugged him since the day I sold it to him. And then he ended up selling it back to me also at a 50% markup. But that's why, like, I don't want to sell shit anymore. What I have, I'm keeping. Like,
that's good.
I did buy them all at the right time. Like, every single one of my cars basically doubled, if not tripled, in value.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't make sense. Because, like, if my thing is, if I'm going to sell them now, I got to put it through my head that I'll never own it again.
Yeah.
Because if you try to buy it, I can't rebuy it.
Yeah, you can't replace it. Or at that, you know, at the value that you bought them at.
Yeah, like my yellow GT2. I paid $127,000 for that car in 2015. Bro, there's $350 right now.
Yeah.
I would never in a fucking million years pay that for that car. Even if I wanted it, even if I had the money to buy it, I wouldn't buy it because that's just absurd.
Yeah.
But, you know, at $127 at the time, I dumped the Lambo, I dumped this, like, you know, you'd play around with a couple cars and you come up with the money. But what shit's selling for these days, dude, it's out of control.
And that's good. That's like a safe investment, you know, like,
oh, 100%,
to park your money. So that's definitely good. And I see like you've been working on that lately. So
yeah, I'm trying to wrap that one up soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the more popular Porsches that are coming in for work? New GT3s?
Yeah, but those things are all cookie cutter exhaust and that's it. Nobody really doing nothing to, yeah, those cars, you know?
Not yet.
Yeah. They're soulless, man. Like,
oh yeah.
Like, I know I'm gonna get shit for this, but like, I was excited for the 992 RS, and then a friend of mine brought it in for some stuff. He's like, "Oh, go beat the piss out of it." That car did nothing for me.
I think it's a little different now too. With it, like I always said, even before, like, even like on the GT, all the newer cars, they're fucking fast as hell
and perfect.
Right. So like you don't get that, you don't get that feeling in like when you're driving and your seat's like, yo, any minute I'm gonna lose control, right?
There you go.
Like that's the thing about all these new cars now, like from the M3s, anything that's fast. I mean, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, these cars are making way more power than when we were getting into cars. What was it like? VR6 made what, like
170 horsepower?
Yeah, Civic Si's 150 horsepower. Yeah. Like those were the fast cars of our times. And then now you're getting in, you got like a brand new kid hopping in a car,
500 horsepower,
M3, M4s, 500 horsepower. So all those Audis, like, yo, it's insane. But when you drive it, it's like they're just
Bland.
They just go straight. They go straight very fast. They could take a turn. And there's, like you said, there's not much you need to do to it.
No, dude.
Like your GT2 compared to the newer one, night and day.
Night and day, dude. Can't compare. And that's why, like, why do you see the 997 market is out of control right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like a 0.1 GT3 was a $75,000 car 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they're
like,
they were 4 years
now they're
ago.
Like 120.
120.
If
where?
Not more.
More.
Yeah.
A 40,000 mile car is selling for 140, 150 grand.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And a 0.1, you get into the 0.2s, they're 2 plus.
Yeah.
Like RSs now are fucking 350, you know, like a 997.2 RS. And why? Because get into the 991s, they're 991s are still okay. The 992, I'm telling you, man, that car did nothing for me.
Yeah.
Like I beat the fucking piss out of it and it's like, it did nothing. Like you could literally just, it would go where it needed to go, wouldn't break loose. Like it was just fucking perfect. Like I came back, what'd you think? I'm like, it's perfect, but it's boring. Like it literally,
it's different, yeah.
Nothing for me.
Not
like,
raw.
No, at all. Like, not raw at all, no torque, a lot of power, like all screamer up top, but like just a boring car.
And that's crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and people are paying
150 over sticker, which is what he paid for that one.
If not more, yeah.
He paid 450 for that car.
Wild.
And I'm just like, yeah, it's nice, dude. It looks great. Sounds cool. But it's like, I had no desire to ever want to drive it again.
That's crazy.
You know, like give me a 997 GT3 RS, bro, because them shits are fun. They scream, like they scare you. Like,
yeah.
Like I like cars that literally like, any minute I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm going to lose it. Like, I need to be scared of it.
Yeah, that you don't see that on a lot of these
nothing
new cars.
Anymore.
They're too super.
Yeah, nothing. They're all boring, dude.
Yeah, to your point, right? Like, the newer ones, if you're going to do something, it's cookie cutter. Yeah. It's nothing really bespoke to do anything about it now these days.
Down to the new G80s. I love that car. Everybody hated that car when it came out. From day one, I'm like, this fucking thing's going to be, like, the car. And
it is.
Sure as shit, look at it.
Yeah.
But again, cookie cutter. Everybody already figured it the fuck out. Put a motor in it. Put a trans in it. Put a single turbo on it. 820 car. 830 car. Like,
yeah.
Nuts. And you could drive the thing. You literally pick up your kids at school in it and like do your rounds with it and go eights and come back home.
I think all those new cars now, especially all the turbo stuff, you know, there's not much you got to do. Those cars make power. Yeah. You just got to turn them up, wake them up a little bit.
Dude, we had one of my friends. He had a G80. Bare bones build, like. Literally bottom of the barrel shit. JB4, downpipes, midpipe, dropping filters. On PS4s, 990.
It's crazy.
There was what, $3,000 worth of shit done to that car? 990s. Like, how do you beat that, bro?
No. And that car is like, what, $100,000? If not.
70, you could probably get one for now.
Yeah, used ones. Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
990 car with nothing into it. Literally like $2,500 worth of shit.
That's crazy.
So, favorite build. All-time build for you, what would it be?
Favorite build of mine? Not so many, goddamn. I would say my 90, even though nobody knows that car that well, but that car is a nutty car.
Yeah.
Is that your, would that be your favorite car?
Yeah. Not my favorite car, my favorite build, because that car is like, it was a lot of one-offs. Like, it was the first one to have an inline VR6 done to it. I was looking at one of the first VR6 Quattro cars back in the day. I think it had a VR in it in 09 already. And just, like, every single thing on that car has been, like, bespoke. Everything's one-off. Everything's custom. It's, like, the car's nuts. Doesn't get the attention it deserves because nobody really cared for old-school Audis. Like, now they're starting to get a little bit more attention because of Ken Block and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But prior to that, like, nobody cared about a small chassis Audi. It wasn't even on the map.
Nope.
Right.
And now, all of a sudden, now they're worth money. Everybody's trying to butt into them, but.
So, like, you know, even before you got, like, super big, were you into the shows, like the, what's that big show that you used to have for the Volkswagens, like the Waterfest, stuff like that, and then?
Yeah, I went to that stuff. Back in the day, I went to that stuff. I used to love Hot Import Nights. I still think that was probably one of the baddest shows to date.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I think Hot Import Nights was the shit, period. Like, a nightclub scene in them. Like, yeah, they were just
the
like,
atmosphere,
different level, bro. Like, nobody today has even come near touching that.
That's crazy. It's crazy to think that, right? Like, there's so much, I guess. I don't know what it was like that made those shows perfect, because today there's still stuff like that going on, but you don't get the same reaction. You're not getting the same crowd. It's just different.
But people aren't also doing that. Like, yo, How Did You Pronounce was crazy. Like, you think back now, like, you know, this was what, 2005, 2006. Like, yo, those shows were nuts, dude.
Yeah. But you would figure, like, something like that, like, someone can easily, you know, try to bring that back. And I don't think they can.
Why not?
I don't know. Like, no one's done it yet.
I know, but that's what's crazy. Why hasn't somebody done it?
I don't know, man. I think, like, to me, like, that was a dope thing. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
Like, you know, they had the points. They had all that stuff. So, I mean.
What was it, NCCA or whatever?
You guys, I know friends that, you know, had cars that you guys built and stuff like that, that were following that tour. And, I mean, you know, that was a big thing back then.
I went to LA with my TI back in the day.
Yeah.
Well, see, Staples Center.
That's the thing, though, right? Like, people built their cars for car shows back then. Like, now it's meets.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reputable car show now these days that you're going to say, I'm going to build my car for this car show.
First Class Fitment was the last one.
Right. And that was the last one.
That was the only show I ever cared about. Like, towards the end, like, that was it. I'd always debut something at First Class Fitment, and like, we always did great there. But now, yeah, like, it's all.
Like, why would you build a show car these days?
Nobody builds, like, I don't think anybody builds a purpose-built show car anymore. Like,
yeah,
people build like an all-around car, but even then, like, you think of like the Hot Import Night days. Yes, a lot of the shit was over the top, all that fiberglass. But dude, those cars were nuts. Like them or not, like, the craftsmanship in those cars were nuts, dude. All the one-off wide bodies. How many one-off wide bodies you see these days? You don't.
No, not much. And I think one thing that probably also makes your shop stand out more is that some of your builds from 05 can still match up today, in today's time, without even updating anything.
Because
you know
what I mean? Build them right.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
So they actually, you know, sustain like the time test, where it's like, you know, that car today, 15 years ago, was the shit. Right now, it's still the shit. Like, you know what I mean?
I stopped my TI. Like, everybody keeps telling me, like, everybody's like, dude, you got to bring it out this year. You got to bring it out this year. And I'm like, I want to bring that car out. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, for what? Like,
yeah. You're going to go to a meet.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to bring it out as like a personal goal, just to bring it back out, because like, I have no desire to bring that car out, because like, it serves no purpose.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going to bring it out for what? There's nothing in its fucking league. There's no other BMW that I could even like park next to, or like, ones that I built. So like, what's the purpose of me bringing that car out? Like, nobody builds cars to that level anymore. You know? It's like, that shit's over.
Yep.
Now bags are wrapping some wheels and that's it. You got a show car. And it's like, fuck out of here with that, man.
Yeah.
So are you going to be more like, not are you, but have you been more selective with your work lately, where it's not like, you know, if someone just wants to come in to get that, you know, that's not like priority for you?
No, like, I have a very good network of customers. Like, again, they just keep feeding me more cars. So it's like, I've literally been like focusing mainly on that.
That's good.
It's like, why learn new faces when you have the ones that, you know, you finish a car. Okay, cool. I'll wire it tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's no questions. There's no issues. It's just wire ready, done. Next car. Come on.
Yeah. That definitely helps.
So, doing this for 20 years now, over 20 years, you know, what would you say is like the hardest part of the business for you?
The hours. Like, I'm tired. I'm drained. Like, the last 2 years, I've like physically and mentally aged more in the last 2 years than in the last 15. Like, I guess now as you're getting older, the shit's just getting taxing on you.
It catches up.
Yeah, for sure.
And you don't bounce back like you used to.
No, that's the problem too.
Like, I think like back, like, you know, pulling all-nighters was nothing, you know, 5-10 years ago, right? You pull all-nighter out now, you're just like, you're done for two days.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? You need that time to recover. So I think, like, you know, for you, at your level of business and at the time that you put in, sometimes you got to take a step back to work on yourself, you know, because that's important, because you got to think about it too. You're going to work yourself, you're going to burn yourself out, you know, and you want to be able to, you know, make sure your health is good, because that's the most important. I mean, you're working. What are we working for at that point if you can't enjoy it?
And I don't. That's been like the worst thing. Like, all I do is fucking work. And it's like, I thought getting into the new shop would have been better, and it actually turned out worse, because like,
now you're taking in more work.
Yeah. And it's like,
and you have more space to put cars to sit down.
And it's more work on me. So it's like, I'm literally working day and night.
Yeah. It's tough. I think that's like the crossroads where like business owners have to come to realize, like, you know, this is it. Like I can only work, you know, 10 to 6, 9 to 5, whatever your hours are, and stick with it. Because if you don't, you're going to just continue that cycle that you've been doing for the last, you know, 20 years.
I'm trying to change that cycle now. Like,
yeah, because, you know, you want to be able to enjoy life outside of work. Yeah. So
have you ever thought of, like, taking on an apprentice to continue the legacy?
If
or
they come in the door. Like, I'm not one of those that doesn't want to share my information. Like, I tell my guys everything. Like, I don't hide nothing from anybody.
Yeah.
Because if you know, you're just going to benefit me.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave, cool. You know what I mean? Take the information with you. You're not going to affect me that way. So, like, that I'm not one of those guys like, oh, no, I don't want to tell you how to do this. I don't want to. By all means, bro. Like, watch Learn what it. I did. If you can figure out how I do it, start doing it also, because that's less on me. I don't care about that.
Yeah. But
still, you still need to find the person that's willing to do that, which they're non-existent lately. It's like,
right.
Like, nobody wants to do this shit. It's getting really bad.
I think you need a social media guy.
You know, it's funny that people say that all the time, but it's like, I don't want more work.
No, I think you need a social media guy to project your shop more than just you, because obviously it's just like there's only so much time in a day, there's only, you know, so much one person can do. And I think on that end, that might help you, because you might be able to find that person out there, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's like, even for me, for myself, like, I find it hard sometimes just to post content because I don't know what to post.
Yeah.
Or it's like, I shouldn't post this, but if you have a guy that's just dedicated, that might help you. And you know, it's funny that we say that. That guy's not even involved in the shop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's a whole other thing. That might be able to help you offset some of this stuff. The same thing. You're also concentrating. I'm sure at some point in your day, you're like, damn, I need to post something.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that part, I think, it's tough, you know, to have good content.
Yeah, because I get that all the time. Like, people have been reaching out. Like, have you been okay? I'm like, yeah, I've been doing a bunch of shit. Like, yeah, we miss all your rants and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, wow, you guys actually care. Like,
yeah,
like,
but I think
I post shit to post it.
But I think that's different. That's more because, again, like, that's because your life literally revolves around the shop. You don't have that. There's, like, there's no separation. You know what I'm saying? So people are looking at AMS page as, you know, the Ogre's page and vice versa. So they know they're going to get a little bit of both, you know. But I think sometimes with that separation, they'll give you, like, You know, hey, listen, if I go home, I'm not even going to go on the AMS page.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be on Diogo's page. I think that would help you a little bit, too, just to give you some balance.
Yeah, change has got to definitely be made this year.
Yeah.
I can't keep going like this.
And I know, like, recently, you know, you lost a really good guy of yours.
Yeah.
And, you know, you made that post. And I didn't know what his, you know, position at the shop was until you just told me. And, like, that's going to affect your business, you know, in a way, too, right?
For sure. Like, I already knew he was retiring. Like, we already had that talk. Like, I was going to probably lose him, like, end of the summer.
Okay.
24.
Okay.
Like, I was already well prepared with him. Like, I was supposed to lose him, like, 3 years ago. And then I gave him a fucking stupid raise. And which now, honestly, just talking about the shit, I feel like a fucking dick. Just had the man retired 2 years ago, he probably would have enjoyed 2 years of his life. Like, I know you can't look at it that way, but, like,
yeah,
that's how
I know.
That's how I took it. I'm like, fuck, like, was this the right thing to do?
Like, you feel like you took
like,
time from him.
Was this the right thing to do? Like, I was selfish, you know what I mean? Like, I whatever it is. But I gave him a crazy ass raise, like $15. It was stupid, but, like, I needed him, you know what I mean?
Right.
And he ended up staying. He's like, listen, I'll stay for a little longer. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yo, he was literally family. Like, the guy was with me 12 years. Like it wasn't a boss employee relationship. Mm-hmm. It was like, what's up, dude? Okay, like, you know. I'd give him a car and not even talk to him about it until it was done. Like, that's the way we work. Like,
right.
Him, I'm like, all right, Yachty, we want to do this, this, and that. He's like, okay, how do you want? Like, this, this, and that. We worked perfect. Like, he knew what I wanted. And it was like, at the end,
it was get always, it done.
Yeah. And then, like I said, he, you know, he said goodbye for Christmas. Like, we had a Christmas dinner, all that stuff. And 2 days later, he had a massive heart attack, and that was it.
Yeah. That just shows you that life is so... You never know.
Yeah.
Fucked up, man.
So when I say that to you, it's not just to say, like, hey, you need to enjoy your personal time. That's that's important because, you know, we only have one life.
Yeah.
So.
No, that was definitely an eye-opener, dude, because, like, you know, my man worked, you know, like, he didn't overwork himself, but, like, he worked, saved up, you know, he was going back home and you know, he was redoing his X5M that we had there. He was doing the whole thing over. Like, for what? Like, you died, your kid came in, cleaned house, and left. Like, that's it. All your shit gone. Like, so fucked up when you look at it that way.
Yeah.
So, if for all our listeners out there that want to get their car built by AMS, how far out are we looking if someone said, hey, I want to get my car built?
Full build right now? Like, realistically, 6 months to a year. Probably like that. A year is probably the realistic number. I say 6 months just to be nice, but it's pretty out there.
So you're like a year out right now.
Wow.
Tough. But you know what? That means that you have the work. So that's like the plus and then the bad side.
And the people wait. That's the crazy part.
No, they will. I mean, listen, it's like one of those things. If they want you to work on it, this is what it takes. And you've already made it obvious. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Money is not going to jump, you know, a spot for you.
That's
or
one thing
like
that I'm very adamant about every single time. Because that's one thing that I get a lot at, which is ignorant as fuck, because people try to throw money at you all the time. And it's like, dude, I don't care how much you have, because that guy has more than you. That guy's got, like, money's not going to change the outcome here.
No.
Like, it's not going to help you.
You just got to wait. Yeah.
So when you take, it's first come, first serve, is that basically how you manage your builds?
I got a pretty good roster of, like, car. Like, right now, like, I have a bunch of cars to shop, and I probably have a list of, like, 10 cars on back order that, like, once they leave, I'll call them, they drop that one off.
Yeah, we're ready for this one. So we always ask people, what advice would you give someone that wants to open up a shop, like, in today's world, from, you know, whether it's performance or body or anything, like, what's the best piece of advice you could give someone?
Keep it small. Yep. Keep it small is probably the smartest thing I can tell anybody right now.
That's good. I haven't heard that. Everyone always wants more.
No. We're not in a generation now where more is working, because you physically can't hire people to work.
Yeah.
Like, right now, I got a 12,000 square foot shop. We got 6 guys working there. Like, yeah. It's retarded.
And you have the room for more.
Oh, we got the room for another 6, if not more, you know?
Yeah.
Got freaking 7 lifts, 8 lifts in the shop. Like, you know, the body side's huge, too. Just doesn't work, man. Can't hire people.
So putting that out there, like, you know, if you got skills and, you know, you have what it takes, might be able to get a job at AMS.
Or if you want to open up a shop, open up something small and make a killing building a car at a time.
Yeah, you could do that too.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming out, Diego. Thanks for joining our podcast. For those that don't know Diego and AMS, what's your social media?
AMS Auto Works, all one word, WERKS.
Make sure, if you love this podcast, make sure you like, subscribe, hit that subscribe button, please.
And share it.
Once again, Frankie5, Hugo ESR. See you next time.